Is the applause sign not working again?
And the darn laugh track is on the fritz, too. Hey, welcome aboard the Amy Beth Arkwright Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. Did you have a good week? We made it to Friday. Feels like spring. It's also taxing season. Yeah, so procrastinators, your paperwork awaits. I have the accountants take care of all that. I just have to do the panhandling this weekend to pay for it all. We will do a musical setup to the Taxman a bit later, also our free-flow pop culture convo and inspiration to action shout-outs. If you're listening live on Friday, April 11th, that's 9 a.m. out west, 11 central, noon here in the east, you can join us. Our number in motion, 347-857-4505. We're doing a 24-7 at Twitter at AB Writes. So one of the things I love to do with this show is to introduce you to some artists you may not have heard about yet, but who I think you're going to hear a lot from in the future. We're lucky to have one such gentleman with us today. Marshall Dane is a rising Canadian country star who is taking both sides of the border by storm with his latest album, One of These Days, which has just garnered him two nominations for Best Male Artist of the Year and Best Album of the Year at the Ontario Canadian, the Ontario Country Music Association, I think it's called. We'll talk about that, his creative journey, influences, inspiration. But first, let's sample the sound that is so distinctive that I think will have him in your ears for many years to come. This is his big single, which is rocking up the country charts. It's called Alcohol Abuse. Marshall Dane opening up the Friday edition of the Amy Beth Arkwright Show. Give a listen.
Alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze.
What a glass of chicken wire in front of my face. Jack Daniels was falling like a rain on the stage. Then a fight broke down and broke a bottle. Over all that noise, I heard somebody holler, alcohol abuse, shameful waste of precious booze. Name your pain, whatever you choose. Oh, highball, Bloody Mary, fuzzy navel, cooking sherry, mud, Clyde, margarita, whiskey sour, straight tequila, screwdriver, hurricane, Shirley Temple down. Every drop we lose is alcohol abuse. Well, the trouble escalated as the cops showed up. They busted through the doors, pulled out their handcuffs. They said, boys, you need some help, a little rehabilitation. We're running you in for misappropriation.
Rocking in your Liquid Lunch, Alcohol Abuse, the latest hot single from Marshall Dane on the Amy Beth Orkowitz Show, and we're delighted to welcome Marshall to the show. Hey, Marshall, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, pleasure to have you here. Congratulations on your nominations and the big success of your album and your single, and I know there's a video launch for Alcohol Abuse, too. Is that right?
Yeah, that's just coming up in a couple of days, I think a week yesterday, so just six more days. It's going to be, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you plug, check out MarshallDane.com by the 18th of April, and you'll be able to see a copy of it there.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about your journey. And I mean, Canada, I know, has a very rich tradition of country music, and a lot of folks, you know, have success up there, and then they cross over to Nashville. I know you've already had some success opening for people like Alan Jackson and Emerson Drive, so you're already making that Canadian-Nashville crossover nicely. Talk about your journey. You started out as a kid. Your dad was a preacher, right? And you got influenced by, he taught you some songs. Is that how it got started for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was basically, I'll just quickly start off. Don't mind the tractor in my throat. I've just come off of a few nights of performances along with a cold, so I sound like I've been beat up in the back. Anyways, yeah, basically what happened was that as a kid, my father, with his kind of just preaching lifestyle, he was open to always going to one of, you know, he would travel from city to city on the weekends. He was very accustomed to bringing a kind of a happy, joyous vibe. That was his thing that he did. So when it came to our own personal family, every Sunday after church or every other Sunday, we'd go over to my other grandmother's house, and the whole family would just sit around and play music. That was our pleasure thing to do. So by the time I was 12 and realized that bouncing a soccer ball around wasn't going to get me any attention at the family gathering, I finally asked my pops if he could teach me how to play guitar. And as my grandfather, you know, stood there strongly saying, "You don't have the stick-to-itiveness to learn how to play guitar. You're too impatient." And my dad said, "Well, I'll show you three chords, and if you learn more than that on your own, then fine." And I think I probably know maybe one or two more chords than my dad does, but I took
it
pretty seriously.
Your granddad gave you the challenge, and you stood up to it. Yeah, that's very cool. And you have an eclectic. I mean, you can in your sound, because country music has evolved so much too over the years. You do have a lot of rock in there. I mean, there's a lot of, you could tell there are a lot of different influences. So you kind of grew up on your own and explored, like most kids do, a wide variety of music and artists, and kind of incorporated it maybe by osmosis or just the organic flow of how things go. You know, sometimes there's all that, you know, alchemy out there. We don't know where it comes from.
Well, there was this short span of a few years where I was trying to show the kind of music that I would like, that I wrote and recorded, to people that I thought were, you know, as industry as I knew at the time. I was just a youngster. And they kind of all said the same thing. "Well, we don't quite get it. What is this?" I'm like, "What do you mean?" "Well, you've got a banjo in there with some African chanting and a dance beat in behind it." And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I like everything. I grew up with it all. I wrote folky country songs, but when it came time for production, there were so many influences in my head." So all of a sudden I just kept doing what I was doing, and then the rest of the world, you know, came around, and all of a sudden country music was a genre that opened up to allow, you know, rock and R&B and funk and pop into it. And as soon as that happened, then all of a sudden my music had a place to sit on the shelf again.
Yeah, that's great, because really music is, I always say, it's the universal language. I mean, and it crosses all barriers, socioeconomic, beautiful, generational, all of that stuff, if people are open to it. And obviously you avail yourself of that, and just whatever comes out. But what were some of your influences, and how have they changed over the years? Who were your earlier influences as artists?
I'd say I've kind of gone in a full circle, in the sense that when I was just a little wee kid, I'd sit on my grandma's carpet in her living room and just sit there in front of her record player and pull out my favorite songs, and preferably my favorite Kenny Rogers record. I would just listen to it over and over and over again. I could sing all the songs with the skips included. It was that much of a – I really could fall into the song, to put it in that expression. And, you know, then there was – my father and my mother both had kind of a sense – my dad had the Western country – vibe. He was into Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. My mother was Simon and Garfunkel and Zamfir. I, in turn, you know, had also three older sisters that loved rock and roll, so Bon Jovi and Motley Crue, were a staple for my sisters getting ready in the morning before they went to school. Put all those things together, I mean, I like them all. I've spent a good number of time sitting in front of my stereo listening to Beastie Boys, Michael Jackson, and you'd have to do a lot to tear me away from some of my favorite Neil Young records. I mean, it really kind of goes all over the place. And, of course, I mean, Kenny Rogers and Johnny Denver were two of my just go-to songwriters. I thought he was really a guy on a train talking to a guy who was a gambler, and he was trying to bum smoke off him and try and get a drink from him. And, you know, when he had scarlet fever, he really was driving down this highway, and he sees the sign that says Scarlet's not here anymore, and the guy was just devastated. I mean, I felt it. That's kind of songs. No, that's the kind of songs we fall into. And now it's my only goal is to try and write songs or try and deliver songs so that people feel that same feeling, because that's what drew me to it. That's my love for it.
Absolutely. So talk a little bit about your process as a writer, I mean, and also the balancing act that you do as a performer and writer, because with musicians particularly, you're on the road a lot, as you said, you're performing. Do you separate your writing time from your performing time, or does it overlap?
It used to overlap. Well, I shouldn't say it always overlaps. There are moments where I'm able to take, and like right now we're planning on scheduling some time in May to go down to Nashville and to do some writing. And it's really nice to be able to have time to schedule out, to say, okay, here's a block of time. The problem lies when you say, okay, out of our whole 365 days, here's 7 days plus 2 traveling days that we have to go and write somewhere. That puts a little bit of pressure on it, but it can get done. I mean, I've come up with beautiful songs. You know, you can write well during that pressure, but it's also nice when you can say, okay, you know what, we're off the road. We're out of the studio or the traveling version of our career for, say, 2 or 3 months. Then you can actually wind down. Then you can actually, pick and choose your moments. You don't have to worry about being up and being at a writing session for 9 o'clock in the morning. You can wait till 3 in the afternoon and say, you know what, I'm going to go out to the water over there, sit by the park bench, and I'm just going to write for a while. There is a balancing act, and you have to make sure that you take advantage of that. I know we as performers, when we're on the road, we might be traveling day in, day out for 5, 6, 7 days, but then you put us on Vancouver or just, on the water side for 2 days, and all of a sudden it feels like we've been on vacation for a week, so you can get that inspiration instantly in those few, down moments that you have.
You often walk around with a song, brewing in your head that you have to get it down?
Yes, and thank goodness for iPhones these days and the easiness of recording, your quick thoughts. I still carry around a book with me, a pen and paper, but I love having my phone just to quickly write down ideas or to quickly even just hum ideas to myself. It wouldn't be the first time I've been going down the highway somewhere thinking, shoot, the guitar's in the back and we have a deadline to make, so I better just hum this chorus to myself, and when I get home I'll go back and add that to the song we're working on. But, there still are those times when you have to just stop and put everything down and say, this has to come out. If it doesn't come out now, it's not going to come out right.
Yeah, exactly, because it's fleeting. It's very ephemeral, that creative spark. It's there, and then it goes away. On the one hand, on the other hand, and I, as I say, as a writer and someone who works with writers and aspiring artists of all types, you have to make time. You have to sometimes force yourself. And with musicians, with the schedule that you have, the grueling traveling schedule and so forth, you don't always have that. You do have, as you said, those 7 days or whenever it is that you're forcing yourself, but you do have to force yourself to sit down and kind of cajole the muse and do the work, correct? I mean, you're not just waiting for the inspiration to strike.
Oh, no, there's definitely a big amount of control you have to learn how to have and or prepare yourself to have, so that when those moments come that you're on the road that long, we just came off a 2.5-week Western Canadian radio tour. We're getting ready for 3 weeks in the States coming up. It's exciting. It's my first time going down to see my brothers and sisters south of the border, so it'll be good in a few weeks. And, you've got to take time to balance not only that, but you have to, in our indie world, there's a lot of business that has to be taken care of by the only one at the end of the day that's going to do it, which is yourself.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure you put time in for that, time in for sleep a little bit, time
yeah,
at least
yeah.
eat once a day, and a couple of granola bars along the way, and then, you know, time to get the business done and time to write. Then you got to make time to dance and time to sing and time to laugh about.
Right. And you got to love what you're doing, right? Because it sounds like you obviously do, and you infuse it with all that positive energy, because otherwise, you know, people sometimes have this unrealistic notion that the life is glamorous, and it may be great, but there's not a lot of glamour to it. There's a lot of hard work involved.
Yeah, most of the time what you see on television is the best parts, and not even maybe not even the best parts, but the highlights. You know, they don't show you the lowlights. And there's definitely, you have to have that. I mean, I'm glad I just always have that voice of my dad inside me that says, son, your glass is half full, because there's, you know, what people think is the glamorous life. They're right. I mean, when it's high, it's bad. That's why we do it. That's why we sacrifice all the lows and or the hard times that kind of you have to either learn how to curb or pray that you get guided straightly through the fires, because the lows are pretty, they're just as extreme. But the highs, I mean, they are glamorous. I mean, what can I tell you when you're getting, you know, brought back on a little tiny, humble John Deere little baby tractor, like we're talking the smallest one that Johnny Deere makes, and there you are driving past three big, giant semis with Alan Jackson's picture on the side and his name, and, you know, instead of being nervous, you're humbled and excited because you know that there's 30,000 people out there, and you're going to walk out, and it's going to be like you're in your kitchen, you're just going to be having fun. And, I mean, that can be pretty exciting, the energy rush that you get from something like that. I mean, I've never been skydiving, but I can assume it's kind of the same.
Yeah. Well, you feed off the energy of the audience, and you obviously have played a wide spectrum of audiences, starting out in bars and clubs like so many people do, and moving your way up to concerts, opening up for big acts where there's a big audience. I mean, what's the different feel to it, or do you just ignore the difference and just concentrate on what you're doing?
I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's like the difference between a buffet with all your favorite foods and a home-cooked meal with just a couple of your favorite foods. Mm-hmm. You know, like you go to a small little club and you play there and you're like, I love this. This is great. I love these people. I like this room. I love playing music. These people are enjoying it. The interaction is the same. The bottom line is the same. I'm delivering. You're receiving and giving it back. This is perfect.
Yeah.
You walk out onto a bigger stage and there's, you know, 10 times that, 30 times that, 100 times that. It's really just another variety of, oh, here's the big buffet version. So when I do this trick here, when I go, all right, I say right on, you say right on, it's not 60 people in a bar at 2:45 in the morning, it's 1:45 in the morning. Instead, you're talking about, you know, 15,000 people at, you know, daybreak. It's like 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, and they're just wound up, and they need someone to take them to another level outside. It's fantastic. It's just a bigger version of that same experience. And, you know, I think some people may probably get still nervous about the difference between those two, but I look at them as the exact same, you know, job at hand. And by job at hand, I mean I'm there to do what I love to do, which is, okay, keep calm, get ready to go out and be focused, and as soon as you step foot out on that stage, you've got to draw their attention, and you've got to deliver them this music, and you're only going to be able to tell by their reactions. So you best, you know, like if it's either the guy at the bar with his foot tapping, or you've got 15,000 people with their hands in the air. And yeah, I mean, both are just beautiful and awesome, and then you walk off stage and you're like, wow, there we go, we just did what we love to do. No biggie.
Yeah.
You know, that's the glamorous part, is that you get to walk off and think, wow, I can do that for breakfast.
Yeah. Are there people that you would love to work with that you haven't yet? I mean, obviously you've worked with some big stars, but who else is on your list, your wish list?
Oh, geez, there's so many great artists out there. I'll tell you, over the last 6 months to a year, while we've been traveling quite a bit, I've had a real fascination for two artists. One, Eric Church. I really like just his different kind of vibe. I mean, I don't like him because he's the rebel country guy. I like him because
he's a rebel country.
Sounds cool. But I really like him, and I also really enjoy the Zac Brown Band. To me, they're like the Eagles you know, reincarnate. They're just on fire. They're great musicians, and you know, I'd love to share a stage with those guys. Just don't make me do a guitar duo with them.
Yeah, they
they're
got some,
a little bigger.
Some great musicians in that band. Great sound, though. I love that sound. You're right.
Yeah.
I feel you go in there. You can meld with them nicely. You have that kind of sound. So you have some aspirations. What's the competition like? I mean, it's so, I know people are embracing in the music world once you get to a certain level and invite people in and are good about mentoring and that kind of thing. But there's just, it's daunting because it's very competitive too, right? I mean, there's just so many people trying to make their way. How do you do it? How do you navigate?
It's extremely competitive. You try not to let it, I try not to let it bug me, although, you know, there's times when you sit there and you kind of scratch your head when you're banging it against the door and you're like, is this even a door that opens? You know, am I even at the right door? But the reality is that there's never going to be any less planes in the sky trying to land. If anything, there's always, I mean, with the ease of recording and the access to people self-promoting these days, there's only going to be more and more people coming through. So I've always said to myself that, you know, if you've got what it takes, and that be it, you know, a bunch of different things, you know, like from talents to money to timing to luck to just everything, if all those things kind of work out and you're blessed enough that you can have a job in this business, then you're good. You're surviving. You've got to constantly bring good quality work to the table, but, I mean, you're lucky. You know, there's a lot of quick, easy ways into the business. Anybody can kind of play the music business game. So you just have to kind of put your blinders on. I mean, we were talking yesterday about Facebook, and I was saying how I don't pay attention to other people's Facebook stuff just because part of me, maybe it's the fear factor of knowing what everybody else is doing. I'd rather not know. I think it was one time Sting got interviewed, and they asked him, so what other music do you listen to? He says, I don't listen to my own, and I don't listen to other artists. I just think you listen to classical stuff and to jazz just so that his mind wouldn't be, I guess, swayed in any one way when it came to writing. Now, of course, these days, you know, you almost have to study your craft and your genre and your other writers that, you know, write in your field just so that you can stay on top of, you know, what's new and what's current. But again, there's something to be said for the guys that just stay true to their making sure they set the bar high all the time and don't worry if it is exactly what everybody else is putting out, because then at some point it comes out and you've got Zach Brown. I mean, Zach Brown was putting out stuff that was definitely not Jason Aldean, Luke Bryant, you know, the other guy.
Right.
So,
a distinct sound, exactly.
Yeah, so keep the quality high, and then, you know, you only have to worry about that part of it and then making sure. I mean, if it's a song that nobody in the world can relate to, well, be weird all you want. You're not going to get any work.
Right.
But,
well, where do you get your ideas? I mean, that's what a lot of people always ask, you know, as a writer to me, too. It's like, where does it come from? I know my answer, but what's your answer? When people say, where do you get all your ideas, where do they come from?
Things you see around you, probably similar to what you think. It's how it works for you. Somebody says something, you're like, oh, did you just say that? Somebody said to me, I said, oh, this girl, man, she was, she was sideways. And he said, no, she was more south than sideways or something like that. It was a little expression about us. That's the kind of stuff that we as, you know, that like to write stuff. We'll write that one down and say, you know, she was a little more south than sideways. Oh, I like that. You know, it all depends. You know, sometimes there's a great line. I mean, I was reading something, that a little Johnny Cash quote from last night, and I thought, oh, there was something in there. I might go back there and steal a little line out of there because it might inspire me to write something else. And, you know, family stuff happens, personal life happens. You hear of a hopefully good story as equally as often as you hear of a tragic story. They can both be inspiring. I mean, you just kind of drop from the earth. You drop from the people. Drop for the people that you're trying to write music for. Sometimes it's the sunshine that inspires you.
You gotta keep your eyes and ears open, I guess, as they say, and be open to all. That's part of the problem with technology today. It always boggles my mind. People are so immersed in staring at little devices as they're walking. I mean, it's a physical hazard for some people. They fall into manhole covers. Seriously, it's happened. But also, I'm like, well, when you're out in the world, like, look around you, listen to people, you know, actually make eye contact, you know, with other people, because there may be some interesting communication and connections you can make, just on a personal level, and also if you're an artist, certainly stories that you can be open to. So.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I got a couple of photographer buddies of mine, and those guys look at the world with a different eye. Everything they look at, they're trying to see it in a composition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and again, not everybody wants to roll their life that way, and that's cool. You know, not everybody does that naturally, so you have to look at it a bit as a blessing if you're one of those people that can see the world that way and then articulate it somehow through either visual arts or music or something.
What advice do you have for people who are up and coming who say they want to enter the music world? As you said, there's easier access but still more competition. What's the biggest piece of advice you can give to someone?
Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys. That's all you'll get out of me today for singing.
I love it. This is Marshall Zane. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, I say that kind of jokingly, but, you know, I think my two pieces of advice that I've been taught and I kind of stick to are, one, keep your standards high and your expectations low. Always deliver the best you can, but don't worry if it doesn't meet up to somebody else's or the world's standards. Make sure it's the best you can do. And the second one is, it's all about a good hang. So even if you're, you know, sick as a dog or you're happy as a pig in the dirt, just make sure you have a good time.
Got to do it. That's pretty good. Simple but profound advice. Marshall Zane, I know you got a lot of success ahead of you, some great songs already in the bank. Are you working on a new project now? You're headed down to Nashville, you said. That's going to be the next project?
Yeah, I can't believe we're only a year and a quarter into this album, and yet again I'm thinking about the next record, which is good because I remember it wasn't until July of 2011, which was a year and a half in, on my previous album when I started thinking about this record, and I had no idea how I was going to make it. So here we are, at least able to make a third album, it looks like. So
good for you,
yeah.
And you've done it. And congratulations on the nominations. I wish you the best come up in May for the awards. We're going to leave with the title track from the album, One of These Days. You have a little setup for us?
Yeah, sure. I would love to say, because in case this is my final goodbye, I want to say thank you very much, by the way, for your time and to your fans and your listeners for stopping in and hopefully appreciating the music. And as far as and they can also find us at marshallzane.com, which is where we'll have our new video coming out in the next week and a half.
I was going to get to that.
Okay, I didn't know if you were leaving me or not, so I was jumping the gun. Okay, so one of these days, let me help you out with that. That was written in the summer of 2011 in July. And it's basically one of those moments I hit in my life where I had all these great highs. I was on tour for the first time. I had this brand new record. And then I was also suffering with some extreme lows where, you know, a relationship broken up and time slipping away. And I hadn't seen my father for a number of months. And I hadn't seen my mother for a number of months. And I just kind of stopped and said, it was all good, but I'm not stopping to smell the roses. So one of these days was about taking charge, living in the now, learning how to, again, not let life go by so fleeting and so fast. Stop and say, instead of me saying, I'm going to go away with you next weekend and we'll just take even 5 hours to go out in the country and just chill out, I would put those things off, but not anymore. Now it's about trying to make sure you always take advantage of the now and make time for the beautiful little things, you know, and make today one of these days.
One of these days, a beautiful song, beautiful sentiment. It's racking up the charts with a great album. Marshall Zane, thank you for joining us. Find out more at marshallzane.com and at Twitter, at Marshall Zane. I know we're going to be hearing a lot more from you. I wish you the best. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. Marshall Zane on the MB with Orkley Show.
Girl, we always say someday when it comes to leaving their town, it's always off in the future. Never seems to come around. I've got a few dollars saved up, and I've got the windows rolled down. I've got a tank full of dreams, and they're telling me there's no better time than now. This is one of these days.
song, Marshall Dane, One of These Days. That's the title track from his great album, Find Out More. And, yeah, you can get the album or find out how to do it at his website, marshalldane.com. Betsy and Nixie checking in to find out more about his sound. So get out there. We got a new fan for you already, Marshall, as he takes Nashville by storm, too, a rising country star. Congrats again on those Ontario Canadian Music Association nominations. Marshall Dane on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Should mention the show today being brought to you in part by Time Cable Warner Movies on Demand. Watch what you want when you want to watch it. And by eSurance. It's car insurance, the modern way to get it. 7.5 minutes to a quote on the web, eSurance.com. Car insurance underwritten by Allstate. So big free flow pop culture news. I don't know where I was yesterday. I think Les Moonves didn't leave a message. He should have left a message. I would have called him right back. Went down the list, and Stephen Colbert has gotten the gig. He will take over for Letterman when Letterman departs CBS's late night show in 2015. There was all this talk about having a woman take over, maybe Tina Fey or Amy Poehler or maybe Ellen DeGeneres. No such luck. We got the white guy again. But he's a funny guy and more politically attuned, they say, and I guess he is, than Letterman and Leno and Fallon and all of that. But, you know, they do integrate politics into their acts as well. But there you go, Stephen Colbert taking over for Letterman in 2015. I guess they're all getting out of the way because Fallon has really been burning up those ratings, right? He is the guy to beat in late night. Have to say, seen a smattering of it. I love Jimmy Fallon. I'm just not really that into these late-night shows that much, I guess, as I was when I was a kid, because there's so many other choices. So either you go to bed, or I'm watching a Law & Order repeat, or a news show, or something else, or a movie. God forbid you should watch a movie, right? Anyway, that's what's happening there. And the other big story that I thought was fun this week, well, there's so many stories, but what I caught my eye was Rob Lowe, the former teen throb who's 50 or so now, and he says he has a new memoir out. I forget what it's called, but he asserts that nobody took him seriously when he was younger, particularly because he was too beautiful. And beautiful people, nobody thinks, are really deep or can play the deep, hard parts. So there you go. He's a good-looking guy, no question. And I think he's the kind of person who had that boyish look when he was younger and kind of ages into it, so he'll probably always be a handsome man. But it's really tough when you have it's a hard life. Hard knock life there, Rob. Too beautiful to be taken seriously. There's a new kind of prejudice for you. There was a woman, speaking of prejudice, I think it was in Florida, is that right? I'm not sure where it was, actually, but went to a Subway to get a sandwich, or she got some kind of a new thing. They have a pizza dish or something? I don't know. Anyway, on her box for the takeout, she was upset because somebody at the store had written Big Mama on it, and I guess she was a heavier woman, and she was very offended that they had the nerve to do that. I've heard of restaurants sometimes will make snide comments or jokes about the patrons and write them on boxes. If you're going to do that, it's not a good thing to do, of course. But if you're going to do that verbally to somebody else who works there, whisper it or something, that's one thing. But don't put it on the box. What do you get out of it? So there's some kind of nefarious undertone that you want to try to shame a person or make somebody feel bad. And what is the point of that when you're in the customer service biz? I don't see the point of I don't see the angle. Certainly there's no tipping involved. I guess there's no tipping at Subway's, but it's not nice. Be nice to people. Come on, this is really important, I think, to reach out and try to be as nice as you can. That doesn't mean you can't have a sense of humor about things, and people can be self-deprecating about different issues, but there's a mean-spiritedness that's out there, and this is what apparently was part of the story with that young teenager who stabbed all those kids in Pennsylvania. We hear stories about him being bullied. I don't understand why bullying is such at a rampant pace now, it seems. There's always been bullying. I guess there always will be on some level, but kids can't get away from the meanness now because of the interconnectedness. We were talking about the social media last Monday with our pal Dr. Daniela Schreier. They have bullying sites. People take out, I don't know if it's happened in the case of this young man, but there are these, you know, people will take out, put up a Facebook page, We Hate John Doe or whatever it is. It's just, it's so cruel, and it's relentless in the cruelty. And it makes it harder for parents to kind of monitor what's going on both sides, the kids that are being victimized and the kids that might be part of the bullying. And I know they have all these anti-bullying projects, but they don't seem to be working in many cases, and I'm not really sure why. What do you think that's all about? Reach out to us via the studio line, 347-857-4505, or at Twitter, at AB Writes. We've got a little time off coming up after this show. We'll be back April 25th with fellow mystery author Nancy Rathburn. She will join us, talk about how she became a mystery fan, turned her mystery fandom into a career as a mystery author. And we will also talk to Joe Mader coming up in May, the author of When I Married My Mother. And Tony Quantrill has got a fascinating memoir called Ethel Merman, Mother Teresa, and Me. Just the title I'm in. So we'll talk with him coming up later this month as well. If you'd like to get into the show, we are always looking for great storytellers, whether you're a musician or an author, a filmmaker, a theater pro, social commentator. Hop over to the website, amybetharkowy.com. Tell us about your story, and we'll try to get you on the show probably in June, it looks like, because Trudy has been busy. We're booking up like crazy. Speaking of like crazy, you're doing your taxes. A lot of people wait till the last minute or run to the tax preparer over the weekend. It's time. You got to start paying up. And then again, some people get refunds. I'm not in that category. So we'll pay homage to the tax man. He's coming, whether you like it or not, on the Amy Beth Arkowy Show.
Let me tell you how it will be. One for you, nine for me. And I'm a tax man. Yeah, I'm the tax man. 5% of me is too small. Thanks for light on.
got so much, so much to do. But when my traveling is over, I'll be back with interest. I'll be back with interest. It seems unfair to leave you and sell myself the way I do. But when my wandering is over, I'll be back with interest. I'll be back with interest. Most of my life I've been moving, and when I tire I'll come home to you. But until then I'll be waiting. I'll be back with interest. I'll be back with interest.
How cold is my room without you? Love is driving me. We look at the same.
Thank you for calling the IRS Tax Information Line. If you earned between $15,000 and $30,000 last year, press 1. If you earned between $30,000 and $75,000 last year, press 2. If you earned more than $75,000 last year, my name is Stacy, and you sound real cute. You can reach me here at this number after 5 p.m. today.
You're a rich girl, and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
There you go. Two brand spanking new Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees, Daryl Hall and John Oates, and Rich Girl as we wrap up our salute to the tax man. Also, pay you back with interest from the Hollies. If you don't pay on time, they'll get you coming and going. George Harrison's classic, Tax Man, and the merry band of musical moneymakers, Can't Buy Me Lunch. Thank you, Trudy, for getting together that little salute to the tax man. It could be a tough weekend for some folks, but just get it done. Get her done. And a lot of folks get refunds, as I said, so you might get a little bonus at the end there, which is not too bad either. In any event, you do got to do what you got to do. Hey, they had the big Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction concert and ceremony yesterday. Can't wait to see it on HBO when they run it, along with Hall & Oates. Linda Ronstadt, I'm looking forward to that induction. Glenn Frey, I think, did it, and there were some great folks in the tribute. Kiss, I guess they didn't play because of the controversy over some of the more recent additions who will not be inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's very bizarre to me. It's just this case-by-case basis, so I'm sure other bands have been robbed, or other people in other bands have been robbed from their chance to be part of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as well in the past, and because the rules are murky, meaning there really aren't any, it will probably happen again in the future as well. Nirvana, who also had a controversy with one of the original members not being inducted, I believe. Peter Gabriel, Golden Solo, was inducted. Cat Stevens, Brian Epstein, from the non-musical performers, posthumously inducted, the original manager of the Beatles. So it should be a fascinating evening. Concert to see when HBO has it on. Can't wait for that. Should be a lot of fun. All right, Inspiration to Action shout-outs. So we get a few folks writing in periodically to tell us how they're doing on our challenge, and I'm so happy when it works for you. Nellie wrote me a lovely letter, said, I put my camera down years ago looking for a creative spark. You gave me one, and now I'm doing digital photography and thinking about filmmaking, looking at things in a whole new, refreshed way. Thank you so much. Thank you, Nellie. I'm glad it's working for you. That is gratifying. A quick one via the Twitter feed from Fritz, who said, redesigning my life. Thanks for the boost. Email to follow. I am excited and a little trepidatious at that one, Fritz, but okay, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, if it's working for you, by all means, reach out. We'll give you a shout-out. Go to the website, amybetarkawi.com. Just tell me what you're doing, how it's working for you. And if you need help, if you'd like to get involved in the Inspiration to Action Challenge and you don't really know how to do it, I will give you a primer on that as well. Also, you can stop by for other creativity coaching and counseling questions. And while you're there, pick up a cozy read, the Eliza Gordon Mystery Series, my series, available, Killing Time and Dead Silent, both for ebook and paperback. And, yeah, Mom, I'm working on number 3. So there you go. Good weekend with that one. I want to play you one more song from our guest, Marshall Dane. This one's called Why I Can't Use. This guy, I really like his sound. I think you will, too. And I know some folks on Twitter are already telling me they do. So here's Marshall Dane, Why I Can't Use. I'm the Amy Goodman.
Coming up outside my window. Here we go. Normally you put the coffee on, but I think I'm gonna need something a little stronger before I go. No matter how hard I try, there's no easy goodbye. On the couch, angry and restless, can't think straight. My heart rewinds pictures in my mind of you and me making love here in this place. Baby, it was great. More reasons to leave than stay. I can't seem to get out of my own way, so I walk. Been here before, the
Why Can't I Leave? That's the Marshall Dane. What a distinctive sound he has. On the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, find out more about his music at marshalldane.com. His acclaimed album, One of These Days, is available. He's going to get ready for his next one and nominated for some great awards. I think we'll hear a lot more from him, and I'm happy you're getting introduced to a new artist that I think we'll all enjoy for a long time to come. Marshall Dane at Marshall Dane on Twitter and marshalldane.com. Thanks so much for joining us today. Hey, thank you, Trudy, Aurora, ML, at TCS headquarters for keeping us moving. We're taking a little break off. I hope you have a chance to relax and meet up with family and friends for the Easter Passover week. Take a little time to reflect on what's important. Don't forget, you can follow the show at the Blog Talk Radio site. It's the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. You can also download episodes at iTunes, at NetNow, and PopNet when they get moving. So happy to have you aboard. Reach out via the website. And at Twitter, always 24/7, the conversation is around at AB Writes. So whatever you do and wherever you go, I hope you're going to drive safe, play nice, dream big, and, of course, you got to come back and visit us on the Amy Beth Arkowitz Show. Take care.
Showtime is over.
Never dreamed out easily.